Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Saren.
Yo, Elizabeth.
Hey, Saren, over here.
Yes, hey, here. Hey.
Listen, pal.
Yes.
You know it's ridiculous.
That robe you're wearing?
What?
Okay, whatever. Hey, I got dressed today.
It.
Look, glad somebody did. Yes, I do, Elizabeth. Thank you for asking. Barbara Ernie. You ever heard of her?
No.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe I have.
You're in the crime storytelling business? You've never heard of her?
No,
I'd never heard of her either.
Okay.
So she was a woman from Liechtenstein, and she was known for being someone who would rob inns, like kind of like a highwayman, but mm-hmm. she did it like highway woman style. So okay. she went into the inn and robbed them there. It's brilliant.
Okay. Highway now, women are doing it for themselves.
Oh, dude, you know it. Now, her nickname, her street name was Golden Booze. B-O-O-S.
Okay.
Yeah, Golden Booze. Boo. So Golden Booze. She was like, hanging around in Liechtenstein, you know, doing her thing. This woman had this apparently striking red blonde hair, and she used to always travel with this treasure chest or a backpack, either one. So either she had like a traveling chest or a backpack, and she'd show up at an inn, and she'd go, oh, I must have my backpack or my travel chest be locked in the nicest room you have. Because inside of it is a priceless treasure, and I cannot have one of these highwaymen, possibly, or bandits, or one of your local thieves stealing it.
This
is the 1700s,
okay.
Like mid 18th century.
Okay.
So, like 1760s, 1750s. Yeah. And so she's 1770s, whatever, you know?
Sure, ballpark.
So, anyway, so she's sitting there. She would stay in the best room. Sorry, not her. Her stuff would stay in the best room, and then she would just stay in some other room. Meanwhile, inside of her luggage, her trunk or her backpack was a little person. They would crawl out of the backpack or out of the trunk.
Uh-huh.
They would rob the room blind. Uh-huh. They would put all the stuff in the trunk or the backpack with them. Then they would be handed the backpack or trunk the next morning, and Barbara Ernie would bounce out with her backpack and little man and be gone with a fortune. And they did this over and over again. And just she did it so long, she got rich off of doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, she was like a confidence queen.
Were other people keeping their stuff in this nice room?
Yeah, whatever was in that nice room. I don't know, like candlestick holders, whatever. Like they got silver everywhere. They got gold things everywhere.
So they're
grabbing like frames for pictures. I don't know what they do. They got
blankets.
Candlestick holders are right everywhere. They didn't have electricity.
That's
how many candlestick holders you had to have
so
in a room? They're all silver and gold.
Coffee makers.
Money sitting on tables. So anyway,
mini fridges.
Exactly. They're taking everything they can, and they eventually got caught. And the dude never got caught. She got caught, and then, you know, she had a terrible end.
Did he ever get out of the suitcase?
Of course he got out of the suitcase.
Maybe that's why they didn't catch him.
Yeah, no,
he's stuck.
We still don't know his name. We only know her name. Isn't that ridiculous?
That is
genius.
So ridiculous, and I love it. You want to know what else is ridiculous?
Yeah.
Stealing something old, 100 million years old.
What?
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Oh, you damn right.
Were you into dinosaurs as a kid, Zarin?
Do you see me sitting here? Yes, I was into dinosaurs. I am one of those kids who was into all of the things. I wanted to be a marine biologist. I was into dinosaurs. Yes.
Diplodocus? I never got into it beyond thinking that, like, the T-Rex was pretty cool.
Sure.
That's about as far as I went. But there, you know, there are kids like you were who can name all sorts of obscure, tongue-twisting kinds of dinos.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what makes dinosaurs so compelling to kids.
I think it's the memorization.
Really? I think it's like the real-life monster aspect.
I'm saying, but there's a lot of animals that qualify for it, if you think about it, right? And you find kids getting into a lot of animals. But then the challenge of all the, as you exactly said, it's the tongue-twisting names and being able to know those. It's like one of your first things you can master as a little smart kid, you know? That's my thought. And then obviously there's the majesty of these big thunder lizards or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's cool.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what, something? I'm just not comfortable speculating about this.
Okay.
So we'll just leave it be.
Sure. I'm just speculating on myself.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you. So dinosaur fossils, they have been unearthed on every continent on the planet.
Cool, huh?
Speaking of which, I have a challenge for the rude dudes. Years ago, when I say on the planet, years ago, my brother and I saw a sort of viral video. It was like in the early days of viral videos where a dad is frustrated with something dumb or like weird that this kid did. And he asks him, "Are you on the planet?" And Travis Dutton and I quote this all the time, but we can't find the original video. So if this rings a bell, shoot it on over to us. Anyway.
I just recently did this with, he was out all night with the Grand Marquis, which was a commercial. It was a line from a commercial that my family always says, "She was out all night with the Grand Marquis, not that Grand Marquis." And then they pan over to a car, but it doesn't matter. It's like a, so I know exactly how that
it?
Is. Yeah. I found it. And I got to show my family.
Oh,
I was like,
look
what the YouTube has, everybody.
See, yours is much more fun. "Are you on the planet?" is all they ever say to each other. So dinos.
Yes. Dinos.
There are dino bones all over the planet. Some places have more than others. The best places to find them are in deserts or badlands, you know, dry terrain.
Texas.
Yeah, Texas. So the best of the locations are North America, Texas, like
Utah,
Colorado,
Wyoming.
China.
China's good.
Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina.
Brazil. Yeah, particularly rich in fossils.
Parts of Russia.
Yeah, exactly. One found in Brazil was a carnivorous creature called the Irritator. Irritator Challengeri, in fact. And it was named after Professor...
My sister.
Professor Challenger from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's 1912 novel, The Lost World.
Yeah, bring it on.
Irritator Challengeri. And then there's Ubirajara jubatus.
What'd you call me?
It's a 110-million-year-old dinosaur fossil that was found in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Ubirajara translates to Lord of the Spear or Maned Lord of the Spear.
Yes.
And it's from Brazil's indigenous Tupi language and the Latin word for crest.
Oh, cool.
And it was believed it was probably a predatory dinosaur, about 4.5 feet from snout to tail, but only standing 13 to 14 inches from shoulder to the ground. This is a little baby. A long baby.
This is long but little.
And it weighed about the same as like a turkey or a large chicken.
It weighed the same as them?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
It's kind of light for
super
such a long
light,
boy.
Yeah.
Ubirajara.
I always think of lizards being heavier than birds.
You're right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Yeah,
the bird bones, you know, make it all lightweight. Ubirajara, apparently similar to Indonesia's standard wing bird of paradise, which also had really like exaggerated shoulder feathers used for display, you know, if you're into that sort of thing.
Some people like to steal them.
I couldn't possibly speculate. researchers thought that studying Ubirajara might help explain why birds like peacocks get their flair for the dramatic.
Oh.
So that goes back in time.
Interesting.
One particular specimen, our Ubirajara, for the sake of this tale, had the neck and backbones, this specimen, some rib bones, a complete forelimb, and lumps of what's called grave wax, body fats.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. So basically body fats that congealed in a way that they were preserved.
Yeah, into this waxy substance.
Huh.
The fossil attracted special attention. This one had extravagant spikes shooting up off of its shoulders. It's very like Tina Turner.
Grace Jones.
Thunderdome.
Yes. Oh, nice. Good call.
As well as filaments, kind of like mammalian fur with the mane of like whiskery fur running down its back. That's where it gets that name. So it was a really groundbreaking discovery to have this kind of fur
that
still
mix.
Preserved. Yeah. So Ubirajara was removed from the Araripe Basin in Brazil under unclear circumstances.
I love those.
There wasn't a lot of paperwork involved, which is rare.
I also love that.
Because great holy Moses, the archaeologists and the paleontologists, they love their documentation.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
It's such a problem for me with them. I'm like, again with the where did I get this bone?
I don't have the paperwork.
I'll make new paperwork. Here you go.
So Ubirajara went from Brazil to Germany. And
as one does.
Yeah, sort of the reverse migration, specifically the State Museum of Natural History, Karlsruhe, SMNK.
Okay.
There were no legitimate export permits or documentation as to how it was obtained in the first place, as I stated. SMNK, the museum, unbothered. They unveiled Ubirajara in the publication Cretaceous Research. On December 13th, 2020.
I just got my last issue.
Right? That was just, it just expired. No Brazilian authors. Hinky. So the publication presented the specimen as a newly discovered species that German paleontologists named. The publication of the paper set off legal, ethical, all these problems, all this controversy between German paleontologists and the entire Brazilian scientific community.
Mm-hmm.
So Brazil declared that the specimen had been illegally exported. Cretaceous Research permanently withdrew the Ubirajara article in September of 2021.
Oh.
They're like, you know what? That's enough. This, of course, this puts the specimen in limbo.
Yes.
No one could do any research on
it. Neither fish nor fowl.
No. So, per paleontologist Taysa Rodriguez from Brazil's Federal University of Espírito Santo, when an important fossil is found and sold, our scientists stop studying them. We are no longer discovering our own history. The lead author of the now withdrawn Cretaceous Research piece, Robert Smythe, he conducted his research as a master's student at the University of Portsmouth, England.
Okay. All right.
He said, quote, up until now, we've been missing half of the world in terms of the evolution of feathers. It's just been a blank space, really.
Yeah. Okay. We need to fill that blank space in.
Yeah, blank space, like the paperwork on that export of old Ubirajara should be, right, pal? So.
Do a lot of work in a blank space, Elizabeth.
Exactly. So that same month, the magazine Science published an article highlighting the different accounts talking about how the specimen was exported. So as a result of that reporting, the Baden-Württemberg Science Ministry launched an investigation.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Investigative journalism for the win. So per the withdrawn Cretaceous research article, Ubirajara jubatus was, quote, brought to Germany along with scientific samples in 1995. And this was done by SMK paleontologist Eberhard Frey. And that the authorized exporting of the specimen was granted in February of 1995 by the National Department of Mineral Production. And this gave Frey the go-ahead to ship, quote, two boxes containing calcareous samples with fossils without any commercial value, with the main objective to proceed with paleontological studies to the SMK Museum.
Sure. So it sounds like they threw a lot of syllables at some paperwork to make it sound official.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they said, but they said we have paperwork.
Yeah.
The museum later admitted to the ministry that it had made erroneous statements in these paperwork.
Oops.
So, according to the ministry's probe, the museum wasn't able to give any record of having obtained proper documentation of the fossils acquisition and was unable to prove the specimen was imported before a 2007 German cultural protection law was put into place.
Ah.
They got nothing. However, 2021, the German ministry told Science, the magazine, not just Science
just
writ large.
Just the book.
That SMNK, like, hello, Science, like just yelling outside.
By the way, tell math this too. Go on.
So the German ministry tells Science that the museum acquired the specimen in 2009 after it was imported by a private company in 2006. Also, José Betamar Melo Figueroa, the now retired official who signed Frey's permit told Brazilian news portal G1 that the researchers, quote, also needed authorization from the Ministry of Science and Technology. So this Brazilian guy signs on it, thinking that this is going to help him get signed off from a larger Brazilian organization, mm-hmm. not that this is going to help him get it out of the country. Yeah. So Frey, in an email to National Geographic, said, mm-hmm. quote, "I am sure we will find a solution." You know, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes on to
optimism.
Tell, he goes to tell Science, "We're trying to find a way to solve this in a fair way, in a way that makes sense."
Like, I don't ever believe someone who's saying that to a journalist. Mm-mm. If you're having to say that to a journalist, at that point, I'm like, I don't believe
you. Yeah, and so fair for him, he's trying to negotiate temporary lease of Ubirajara to keep him on display in Germany before returning it to Brazil.
We want to keep our feathered friend.
Yeah, just it's fair for me.
Yes.
Alexander Kellner, who is the director of the National Museum of Brazil, said, quote, "Everyone is welcome to study them, to publish on them, and then give them back." Like, they just want them back. So Frey feels that even though he obtained the required documents for the exportation of these fossils, that the documents only referred to samples that were unspecified. And so he says they arrived legally, but we just can't prove it properly.
You see, there's some ambiguities, but I did not create them. I'm just living underneath them.
He's like, to sum up, totally legal, totally cool.
Exactly.
So Kellner, though, the director of the Brazilian museum, he says there's no legal exportation of fossils, period.
Like, that sounds like a French answer.
Right, just doesn't work that way. So then he says that the only circumstance in which a fossil could legally leave the country for another to study would be as a temporary loan. And so Kellner asks, like, why is such an incredible fossil but given to Germany so long ago and we're only now seeing the publication? So is that because they knew that they got it under dubious circumstances? Hmm. He said, quote, "It's hard to believe that any paleontologist would not have recognized the importance of this specimen and not published it earlier."
Okay. Because it is pretty groundbreaking. It's, I remember the
hugely.
Talk about this one.
So David Martill of University of Portsmouth in England said in an email to National Geographic that he, quote, "would be happy if all the Brazilian fossils in all of the museums around the world went back to Brazil." But.
And that butt's doing a lot of work.
He thinks that the laws that Brazil has regarding fossil ownership are a little too strict, counterproductive.
Yeah. I would love to be able to do that, but I don't trust Brazil.
I wish I could give them back to you.
You know, it's Brazil.
Why won't you give them to me?
I stole it from them, but they don't value it the way I think they should.
So here's what he says. Because the trade in fossils was illegal and because there was potentially big money to be made from trading them, it became utterly corrupt.
That's why?
Right. So what are these overly strict and counterproductive laws?
Yes, what are these overly counterproductive laws, Elizabeth?
Well, a 1942 Brazilian law says that fossil collecting within the country requires national mining agency permits. It also says that all fossils that are found belong to the country. So, yeah, okay.
It's pretty standard. Yeah, okay.
No, this is totally standard. A decree made in 1990 added that the exporting of fossils must first be approved by Brazil's Ministry of Science, Technology, and Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And then foreign researchers have to collaborate with a Brazilian institution in any studies.
Yeah, we want our names on the papers, too.
Right. I don't see how that's overreaching.
No.
And then so this is proof that SMNK should have had in hand, but they couldn't provide.
Yeah.
They done broke the law.
Oh, definitely broke the law. And then also did it in that whole, like, it's only on paperwork.
Right. Frey, he told German newspaper BNN that he was the only one really involved in this and that SMNK scientific director Norbert Lenz didn't have anything to do with it.
I'm telling you, my boss was totally unaware of what I was doing
now, Lenz,
in the jungle.
Who's Norbert Lenz?
Yeah, who is Norbert Lenz?
He's the co-author of the paper in Cretaceous Research.
He was totally unaware of everything except for the fact his name was on the paper.
Totally innocent, but yet he left the museum on his own volition September 30th, 2022. He's like, look, I'm out of here.
I got to go spend time with somebody else's family.
But he told BNN that he left and that had nothing to do with Ubirajara. And then Science Magazine was like, hey, can we get a comment?
Hey, what's up?
He was like, I don't know. He's not here. Click. He wouldn't give a comment.
Oh, really?
So Frey and—
I would say it was about parking. Like, they wouldn't give me my parking space.
Probably.
Just say something ridiculous.
Yes, like it was horrible.
They put that in print.
Martill and Frey, they started criticizing the way that Brazil cares for their fossil specimens.
I knew it. They see it. The same thing.
Always. So they pointed out that there was a fire in 2018 at Rio de Janeiro's Museo Nacional, saying that the fire occurred because of negligence. And 92.5% of the archived items in the museum were destroyed in the fire out of 20 million items.
If I was Brazil, I'd be like, well, a couple decades ago, you guys kind of bombed a lot of museums. So, where are we at?
Yeah. 1.5 million items were stored in a separate facility and they were spared from the fire. The museum's on a hilltop and the fire hydrants didn't have enough pressure to get up the, the hill with the water. The museum's deputy director, he said the fire was a result of neglect from successive governments. So he said curators, quote, fought with different governments to get adequate resources to preserve what is now completely destroyed, and that he felt total dismay and immense anger. So the museum only had a few fire extinguishers, a smoke detector, no sprinkler system, and there were a lot of repairs needed at the museum, even before the fire.
We constantly run into this with museums. They always have bad security. Yeah. They need updates.
Well, this is paint, exposed wiring, and the museum had tried to address this through crowdfunding. So funds needed for the museum maintenance hadn't been provided since 2014. Indigenous people were livid that the museum wasn't getting funding. But at the same time, quote, the city had recently managed to fund a huge budget to build a brand new Museum of Tomorrow. So the museum celebrated its 200th anniversary.
Museum of Tomorrow sounds ridiculous.
Yes, it does. They did its 200th anniversary just 3 months before the fire. And at that point, it was partially abandoned and no state officials came to the ceremony. So it was supposed to be an electrical fire. So Martil, he doubles down and he was like, you know what? It's a good thing the fossils weren't returned to Brazil before, quote, because now they would all be reduced to ashes after that tragic fire. Elaine Gilardi, a paleontologist at the Federal University of Rio Grande do Norte, had this to say in response, quote, Brazil does not take care of its fossils because the Museu Nacional burned. Okay, what about Notre Dame, she says. They are trying to normalize a very sick behavior.
Damn,
so Martel then Notre is like, okay, you know, that was a bit insensitive. He claimed that he felt it was good to return fossils of Brazilian origin back to their home and to help rebuild the museum and its collections.
I can't believe she dropped them burning Notre
Dame. So good.
I mean, like, wow.
Quote, I realize that the following might seem inflammatory, but the inescapable fact is that so many fossils were removed from Brazil in the 1970s, 1980s, and first half of the 1990s. So he's like, okay, it happened before.
Couldn't he say upsetting instead of inflammatory? I mean, this guy's just...
he's just not it. Let's take a dino break.
Okay.
When we come back, I'll tell you about an investigation with a super sick radical name.
Yeah, brah.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Hey.
Ubirajara.
Yeah, that's right. Ubirajara. Talk that talk.
You know, Ubirajara isn't the only fossil to be smuggled out of Brazil.
No.
No. In fact,
yeah.
Dino bone smuggling has been a big operation there for some time.
Yes. From what I understand from the news?
Yes. So much so that the government had a whole investigation surrounding the illicit bone trade.
Really?
Yeah. Operation Santana Raptor.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. Santana it's named for the Santana Raptor, all one word.
Ah, the Santana Raptor.
Which was discovered by our old pal, Alexander Kellner, of the director of the Museum of Brazil.
Not the musician Santana.
No.
How much more fun would it be if he discovered
it? Carlos Santana found dinosaur bones and named it.
Yeah, he's on a vacation. He's like, this is the Santana Raptor.
Well, the Santana.
Rob Thomas and I discovered this on a walk. Sorry, go on. Yeah.
The Santana Raptor is a small Tyrannosauroid. I'm sounded out, Elizabeth.
Sauroid.
This is why I'm just like, T-Rex is cool, man.
A T-Roid.
A theropod dinosaur. Huh? And if that means anything to you, congratulations. But it kind of looks like a cute little T-Rex.
Yeah, with the little hands and the little...
Yeah, so the investigation on Operation Santana Raptor. is something different. This all came about after a tip to local authorities in 2017 about the illegal exporting and trading of fossils from the area of Nova Olinda and Santana do Cariri.
Oh.
You know,
sure.
Those places.
Yeah, of course.
A fossil trafficking network was then discovered in Ceará, a northeastern state of Brazil.
If you say so.
Totally. Brazilians, don't even try coming at me. I know I'm messing everything up. So this had been going on under the radar for decades. Mm-hmm. Portuguese, too. Leave me alone. I know I'm a mess up. Operation Santana Raptor launched in late October of 2020 in a northern region of Brazil.
Which one?
Chapada do Araripe.
There you go. Let it roll. See, you just lean into it.
No, I got it wrong.
No?
Araripe. Oh. Araripe. I left a syllable out.
Oh, okay. I think the locals will be impressed with your efforts.
I'm trying so hard. Yeah. I'm just not good enough.
Your tongue doesn't make these sounds.
No, and I'm just not good enough for like Brazil-level operations.
No.
But the area.
None of us are, Elizabeth.
No. Super rich with fossils.
Yes.
Just bustling with fossils.
Just rife with fossils.
Of the 50 species of pterosaurs described in the world, 23 were identified in the Araripe Plateau.
Damn.
Yeah, 23 of 50.
I didn't know that.
Put some respect on Araripe.
Oh, yeah.
Brazilian federal police, they got 19 search warrants after the on this sting for traffickers. That was really nothing, though, because the area is so huge. It's 6 times larger than Sao Paulo. And they just couldn't get a handle on the magnitude of the operation. So fossil trafficking doesn't get a whole lot of attention.
Not unless Nicolas Cage is involved.
Totally.
Sorry, go on.
The drug trade is more immediate and sexy.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it does, however, have super high profits for the smugglers. So despite the laws and the special operations, the risk, totally worth it.
Also, way fewer guns.
Yeah. Well,
so,
we would hope.
You're less likely to be killed by a dinosaur hunter.
Clunked over the head with a dino bone.
You never hear about like dino bone cartels? I mean, there's a lot of reasons
you're
to get...
Listen, you're hearing...
am I wrong?
So, Operation Santana Raptor focused on businessmen, civil servants, and middlemen involved in the illegal trading of rare fossils.
Okay.
And you didn't have to be a paleontologist to discover fossils in this area. Pieces of archaeological value, which is super easy to find. You like trip over them.
It's like rock climbers are finding them.
And it's
jungle guides.
Well, and it's especially true in limestone extraction areas.
Oh, yes, definitely. The wash
away
of the limestone.
Yeah, the rare fossils end up in the hands of the workers as they're, you know, cutting out the limestone. And those workers learn to identify, you know, when they've found a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, quote, many years ago, There were always people who sold it, but not now. Everything has changed. No one sells it anymore. Now, we always find it and donate it to the company's warehouse where university students come and the boss delivers it for their studies, says Jose Gomez da Costa, a stonecutter.
I believe him.
Although I don't believe a warehouse. Yeah, I mean, put him in the company warehouse.
I believe that what he wants to be to believe. Why not? It's more fun.
So these limestone quarries, right? They're kicking out all these dino bones.
Yeah.
There are almost 100 of them in this region.
Oh, wow.
So it's
100 quarries?
Yeah.
Damn.
And so one researcher said, quote, as a rule, laminated limestone workers do not earn well. So
yeah,
anything that appears that can supplement their income is a reason for joy for them. However, it's a loss to Brazilian heritage.
I hope that the company would at least credit them with some kind of bonus for finding the dinosaur bone.
They
put their name on it like, oh, this is the Jose bone.
They're not going to do that unless the company's making money.
Sure, I know, but the company can, whatever.
Yeah, I know. Remember, where there are people, there is crime.
Yeah.
And so fossils are not always delivered to the right people.
What?
Even a professor at the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro was under investigation.
A professor was?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He allegedly paid bribes on a monthly basis to local quarry workers who were digging this stuff up illegally.
He was paying monthly bribes? He's like Leonardo da Vinci grave diggers? Like, give me the good bodies.
Yeah, he had him on retainer.
Yeah, I got like seven guys over there.
Local police chief Alan Robson Alexandrino Ramos said, quote, the quarry workers and the middlemen were in close contact with the professor, who funded regular expeditions. When you find a fossil, the correct procedure is to contact the National Mining Agency and let them know.
Yeah, of
but these guys,
that's the
come on. And are they going to pay you? No.
We're also not supposed to speed when we drive.
Exactly. So crime syndicates have been illegally smuggling fossils from Ceará, where Chapada do Araripe is located.
So actually the syndicates get involved. It's not just random professors going off to the only hinky person they know.
Then we're into the cartels of it all.
There we go.
And buyers are found throughout the U.S., Europe, Japan. Between 1998 and 2008, over 32,000 fossils have been seized by officials in Ceará.
Did you say 32,000?
32,000 fossils in 10 years.
Full fossils, not just bones?
So the government was working to stop the fossils from leaving Brazil. But what about the ones that are already out there?
What about them, Elizabeth?
I'll tell you something. Paleontologists love to dig. And they love to seek out the truth that's hiding in places often overlooked. If you have a mystery, I feel like a paleontologist is a good resource to have.
You think so?
Yeah. And since the illegal fossil trade isn't as flashy and attention-grabbing as other illicit trades, the paleontologists, they often have to track this stuff down themselves.
Oh, yeah. They're like beneath the like wild animal smugglers. They're like, can we get some attention? Ours are dead, but can we get some attention?
Listen, Zarin,
yeah.
Close your eyes.
Oh, he snuck it up on me. Yes.
I want you to picture it. It's 2019. You are previously mentioned badass paleontologist Tessa Rodriguez of Brazil's Federal University of Espírito Santo.
Look at me.
There it is. There you are, typing away at your computer, doing one of your special investigations. You finish off your iced latte, sucking in the last of the coffee at the bottom of the cup through a straw. It's been a long day. You have other stuff to do, but this is more important. You're on the hunt. There's a knock at your office door. Come back later, you call. You take a deep breath and you click through some web pages. Then you spot it. You're on eBay. You are looking for fossils. Fossils that should be in Brazil and not up for auction by some clown. And you see one. An incredible one. It's almost an entire skeleton of a pterosaur. A wingspan of about 13 feet.
Damn.
You know this piece. It's from the Araripe Plateau. And you know that it was smuggled out of Brazil between 1980 and 1990, which predates Operation Santana Raptor. Where is it now? France. And they are asking $250,000 for it.
Have they lost their ever-loved?
You know it's worth at least twice that. You ring up your contact at the Federal Public Ministry of Brazil. While the phone rings, you print up the listing for the fossil in case they delete the sale. Got him, you tell your contact. You email her the link to the listing and you wait. Time to bring this baby home. I think it's amazing that while the paleontologists are underfunded and underrecognized in Brazil, they are undeterred. Badasses. You're a badass, Zarin. So the company that owned the pterosaur initially presented a document to the French court that supposedly proved the legality of their possession of the fossil. But evidence that was gathered by the Federal Public Ministry in Brazil showed that that documentation was false. Forgeries. So the French authorities were called in. They went to the company and they searched and seized the pterosaur. Quote, in a container that was transporting quartz, they found hundreds of fossils from all over the world, said Rafael Rayol, the prosecutor responsible for the investigation. They discovered the existence of another 45 fossils, which included sea turtles, arachnids, fish, reptiles, insects, plants, all of them millions of years old in this supposed container of quartz. Quote, there are many stores that sell fossils in the USA and Europe. It's a reasonably common sale, said Tessa, you, Saren. She also said that the repatriation of fossils is usually hard and that the case in question is exceptional.
You're damn right,
so,
Tessa.
Good job, Tessa and Z. So when they got back to Brazil, the recovered pieces became part of the collection of the Museum of Paleontology at the Regional University of Cariri, and that houses about 11,000 fossils there. Operation Santana Raptor, though, wasn't the only investigation into these crimes. There was Operation Cardoom in April of 2013. Mm-hmm. And in that case, the government was seeking to retrieve known fossils and found them at a guy's house. And he was selling them to craft stores.
Oh, like just like a Michaels?
Maybe Michaels, Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby.
No hate mail. No Hobby Lobby. There was Operation Munich later that year.
That was to bust Leonardo DiCaprio.
It was directed by Steven Spielberg. So that one recovered semi-precious stones and fossils. And the government had 7 arrest warrants, 9 search warrants all across Brazil. Some were in stores, some were in warehouses, and more than 2,000 fossils and artifacts were seized. It's a lot.
I've got to believe one of these investigations is going to lead to Nicolas Cage's house.
At some
Well,
how about Operation Flintstones?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. It's an amazing name. That's top shelf right there.
Oh, yeah. Top shelf cutie.
Yeah. August 2015, this operation went full Flintstones and recovered stolen fossils and artifacts from caves across Brazil.
Yes.
Yes. So there were some frequent flyers in this group of captured crooks. One of them was a German geologist named Michael Lothar Günther Schwickert. He was busted twice by the federal police. He answered 2 police inquiries, but then he was released and just dipped out of Brazil. Just left the country.
His middle name of Lothar. That's one of those names that sticks with me because of the old SNL skit of Lothar of the Hill People. See, this is what happens. You get one line, and it just stays with you forever.
Well, Lothar, according to a researcher at the paleontology laboratory at University of Cariri, Lothar is, quote, a customary seller of fossils from Chapada do Araripe to collectors, researchers, universities, and museums around the world.
So he just breezes in, buys up some stolen dinosaur bones, goes to Hong Kong, sells them for top dollar.
Exactly. Right. And Lothar, very familiar with the fossil basin, the Araripe fossil basin, more than most. This researcher, Alamo Saraiva, called him, quote, a great fossil preparer, the best I've ever seen. He's a specialist in, quote, cutting Cariri stone taken from the laminated limestone.
So he's really good at cutting limestone.
He's a great limestone cutter.
Good at him.
Top shelf. 2017, 3 tourists were arrested in the act. They were carrying a fossil each in their hand luggage. And the airport x-ray caught their loot. They're like, why do you have a big bone in there? Lady. They said they didn't know that smuggling fossils was a crime.
Is this not legal?
I thought this was fine.
I thought it's like, if you can lift it, you can take it.
Exactly. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about how we got here in the first place.
Yeah.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course.
you'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So, Zarin.
Yes. I was just trying to measure these dinosaur bones to see if they'd fit in my overhead bag. So I think they will. I'm in luck.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Just make sure you wrap them in enough stuff so they don't get broken.
I should probably not have these be checked. Otherwise, they're going to go through x-ray. Mm-hmm. Darn.
Perfect. So we got us some smugglers.
Yes.
Looting Brazilian land for fossils.
Dinosaur smuggler blues.
Exactly. And they're almost always smuggled out generally to Europe. The U.S. scientists tend to stick to the stuff unearthed on home soil.
Yeah, we got plenty. I mean,
tons.
Yeah.
And the Japanese are sticklers for proper paperwork and provenance.
Oh, I could see that.
So what gives, right?
Yeah.
Colonization. It all started there.
Not that old bugaboo.
So back in the day, imperial powers took fossils from their colonies to their homes for study and to place on exhibit.
And not just fossils, Elizabeth.
Well, yeah. That's a whole other crime.
No, but it was kind of a colonial mindset. We take and we take home.
And so the practice endures.
Yes.
There's a researcher, Dr. Raja Shub, a paleontologist from the Erlangen-Nuremberg University in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "Now, what is happening is parachute science, where scientists from the richer countries go to poorer countries, collect fossils and information, and then take them to their institutions where they study them. There isn't an exchange of knowledge with local researchers, similar to what happened during the colonial era."
Yeah, it's kind of like, when they offer people, we're not going to pay you, we're going to give you free exposure.
Oh my God,
they're giving the country free exposure. Like, we're going to let everyone know we got the bones here. It's cool.
Well, many paleontologists, they take these natural resources. They don't leave anything behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes away from local knowledge and educational training.
But they go, we taught them how to dig and we taught them the skills. So now they can do this too.
Yeah. Raja Shub elaborates, quote, "The fact that paleontologists are not trained to think about ethics and laws in general has created a black market for scientists." So this is why you can't just have STEM. You have to have a full liberal arts education. So you take like an ethics class. Yeah. So Raja Shub is one of seven paleontologists who study parachute science. According to Science Friday, quote, "Parachute science is a term describing how researchers sometimes drop down from an ivory tower in the wealthy Western world into a foreign community for field work. They gather their data and then they zip off home without engaging with or acknowledging the contributions of the local researchers in that community."
Hmm.
Parachute science.
Totally.
So
you say Science Friday?
Yeah.
The NPR? Oh, nice.
Yeah, so good.
Like Ira.
Love it. Despite the fact that the richest fossil sites in the world are in developing countries,
sure.
Over the last 30 years, 97% of fossil data has been produced by scientists in wealthy countries. Raja Shub notes, quote, "Our findings show that colonial history and economics influence patterns that we observe in paleontology. To see it so clearly through the data was the biggest surprise for everyone."
Hmm.
So the U.S. is the country who studies the most fossils. But like I said, The studies show that the U.S. is also the country who studied fossils that were collected from home.
Yeah, we're getting high on our own supply.
Totally. Germany, the U.K., and France are next on the list of top fossil investigators, but they're also the top countries for exploitation of scientific resources in third world countries. Mm-hmm. So, and they ice out the locals, too. This is what Dr. Raja Shub said. Quote, I think that researchers from the whole world, especially the ones from the richest countries, should think about the consequences of not being committed to local communities and to a country's researchers when they're researching abroad. Juan Carlos Cisneros of Brazil's Federal University of Piauí explains, quote, there is an enormous asymmetry. In archaeology, this problem is discussed, in museums too, but in paleontology, it's taboo. We have to talk about this because it exists, not sweep it under the rug. And then he explains the importance of place. Paleontology is a science that depends a lot on the context of where everything is found. If you find a dinosaur in Brazil, you won't just excavate that dinosaur. You will see everything around it, fossils of other species, where it came from what level. When you get a fossil on the black market, all of that is lost. Sometimes the fossils have even been adulterated. That information gets lost and it can't be recovered. It's bad science.
It's interesting how many times all these stories ultimately come down to a very simple question is, if we can only get the adults to learn how to share.
Right? Another mark on the scientific community is blood amber.
Yeah.
So fossils trapped in amber are beautifully preserved. See Jurassic Park.
Totally.
But like blood diamonds, a lot of that amber is gathered and sold to fund violent conflicts in other countries. The Society of Vertebrate Paleontology, which is the largest body of professional paleontologists in the world, they called for a moratorium in April of 2020 on the publication of fossils that might have been sold to fuel the genocide in Myanmar.
Oh, wow.
So the mines where amber fossils are found are all controlled by Myanmar military. And it's they who've committed acts of genocide against the country's Muslim Rohingya people.
Totally. It's like wildlife smuggling or narco trafficking. You're going to find disproportionately crime in those businesses.
Exactly. And so by selling the amber for a high price, the researchers are essentially funding genocide.
Yeah.
So while so much can be learned about us today and our future on the planet by studying dinosaurs and other fossils, it's not the stuffy, pure pursuit it may seem, you know?
Not at all.
And there are, like anything we do, consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But Zarin.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Zarin, what of Ubirajara?
Ah, how many times do I say that to myself?
Every morning when you wake up. July 19th, 2022,
yes.
Germany announced that the specimen would be returned to Brazil.
Yeah, raise up.
Theresia Bauer, who leads the Ministry of Science, Research, and Arts for the German state of Baden-Württemberg, told Science magazine, not just science in general, quote, we have a clear stance. If there are objects in the collections of our museums that were acquired under legally or ethically unacceptable conditions, we will return them. It is important that with the return, we send a clear signal about the correct handling of collection items, their provenance, and scientific honesty.
Yes.
That's
and also,
a good stance to take.
If you think, and you're in the business of paleontology, and you think there's these other paleontologists across the pond who aren't as good or don't have as the standards you have, maybe help them with the standards as opposed to going, we've taken all their stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like,
exactly.
That's just hear what you're doing. Like, try to, once again, you'll hear me say this often, share.
Well, and if
share
you really
your knowledge,
believe,
share your information, share what you know, and then go, hey, let's all share these bones that we all are standing on top of.
Well, and if we really believe that it's to advance humanity
yeah,
and
exactly.
study these things, you know.
There was no Brazil for dinosaurs. There was no Germany.
Exactly.
So they would be like, I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Right. Well, it's all just one thing. Dr. Frey,
yeah.
He retired in early 2022 and told Science he wasn't allowed to comment on the story.
Just the whole field.
Yeah, he was like, hello, Science. But Bauer told German newspaper BNN that the whole thing was scientific misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, neither the German ministry nor SMNK took disciplinary action against any of the researchers involved.
Seems to be very common in these stories. When
yeah.
there's not enough like blood or money, it's like, and nothing was
and
done.
Nothing was done. So remember Aline Gilardi, the paleontologist at the Federal University of Rio Grande do Norte.
How could I forget her?
Notre Dame.
Yes.
Notre Dame.
She was the girl.
She said of the return, quote, I am happy with the outcome. We have taken another step towards the real 21st century science, which is getting rid, even slowly, of colonialist ties and biases.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'll be over here dropping mics at this mic club
So Germany's decision to return Ubirajara is seen as a sort of victory against colonialism in the scientific community.
Good on you, Germany.
Gilardi also said, quote, European museums will not and should not be emptied. Fair exchanges and collaborations can be made so that everyone can share in the benefits that fossils can offer.
There's that word.
Bring it on home.
Share.
Share.
Not just a pop star.
SMNK says they're going to examine how it acquired other fossils in the collection.
Yes.
Paleontologist Felipe Pinheiro fought hard for the return of the Ubirajara to Brazil. He had a hashtag, Zarin.
Serious.
Hashtag serious Ubirajara belongs to BR. And look what he did.
Yes, I'm
sure. Hashtag in a dream.
To his credit.
So as to the Germans hanging on to some 40 other Brazil-based fossils, Pinheiro had this to say, quote,
we got new hashtags coming.
As a Brazilian researcher, I am immensely happy that the specimen is going home. I am glad. This means that a few dozen other invaluable specimens are likely to make company to Ubirajara and return home.
It's kind of weird how they have to be graceful about going, can we have our stuff back?
Right.
Because if they're not graceful, they won't get
they
it
won't
back.
They won't get it, which is ridiculous.
Well, look at them. They're being jerks to us.
Totally.
But you just took their stuff. Like, imagine if I went to someone's, you know, some really rich home and I took, like, I don't know, all their, like, their heirloom silver, right? Their silver set from great, great, great grandma. And I'm like, yeah, but I thought you guys weren't using it. You weren't taking care of it. So I took it and I'm showing that to all my people at how nice silverware used to be. We all love it. It's important to us. And they're like, could we have it back? I'm like,
no.
You seem to be mad. Don't yell at me. If you keep coming at me like that, you're never seeing this again. You guys will not appreciate your silverware.
I don't
that's
like
what they're
attitude.
Saying.
Oh, that's totally. Is that your ridiculous takeaway?
It could be. It should
like
be.
It.
It is.
It is. That's beautiful.
What's your ridiculous takeaway, Elizabeth? You see how I did that? Just smooth, easy,
yeah.
Boom.
It's easy breezy.
Try that sometime. No, go on. What's yours?
I think, you know, akin to that, I feel like it's maddening that, you know, this control that gets exerted over these things and this notion of knowing what's best for
yes.
others.
Yes.
And that, well, you can't take care of your stuff
managers
because of
the
fire.
World.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. And... you know, if you're all in this together, and like you were saying, the dinosaurs didn't know one country from the other because they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you scientist to scientist reach out and like, how can I help you rather than turning your nose up at it? But, you know, again, it's this colonial mindset.
And also, I mean, it's and I joked earlier about like, can't we get the adults to learn how to share? But it is like very much not just a children's thing is that it's this whole like mine, but I want it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't have it, I'm taking the ball home. It's all the stuff you see children do. We see adults do. They just do it on paperwork and with press announcements, but it's the same thing.
Well, and it's, you know, because of the power that they hold, they feel they don't have to share, but you demonstrate larger power by sharing.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a greater gift to give yourself.
Isn't it, though?
I know.
Because you know what? Sharing is caring.
Yes, it is.
That's it for today. You can find us online at ridiculouscrime.com. We're also at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. And you can email ridiculouscrime@gmail.com at your own risk. And you can leave a talk back on the iHeart app. Reach out. And that's it. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett, produced and edited by Davisaurus Kustin. Research is by Marissa Velociraptor to the Stars Brown and Andrea Cutest Little Papasaurus Song Charpentier. The theme song is by reanimated Iguanodon Thomas Lee and renowned Brontosaurus Burger chef Travis Dutton. Executive producers are Ben, Give Chile the Mylodon Remains, Bolin, and Noel, Return Zambia's Broken Hill Skull Immediately or I Will Rain Down Hellfire Upon You, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. you'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.